In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, Christ is in our midst. He was, and is, and ever shall be. In this morning's gospel, crowds gather to hear Jesus by the seashore. And these crowds were so large that the only thing that Jesus could do would be to go on a boat and pull a little bit from the shore so that he could be heard by all of those who were there. And while in this passage this morning, it doesn't say specifically what Jesus said, but we can know that his words strengthened their hearts and sanctified their lives and opened their eyes to the double message of repentance and the kingdom of God and the eternal life in the kingdom of God. And these words would have converted hearts and minds. And even those who had no idea that Jesus could even reach their hearts and minds and change them. We see this in St. John's Gospel, where there are some soldiers sent by the high priests to go and arrest Jesus. And they heard Jesus speaking, and they came back to the priest empty-handed. And the high priest said, "Why didn't you arrest Jesus?" And they said, "We never heard a man speak like this man. No one ever spoke like Jesus." And they didn't do their duty to arrest him because they were so moved that their hearts wouldn't let them touch Jesus. And so we can imagine the same thing here, that very hard hearts and stubborn minds perhaps were listening to Jesus and their minds were being softened. And they were willing to do anything that Jesus would tell them to do. And so we have here, Jesus gives a command to St. Peter, and from what we hear of Peter's reaction, it's an absurd command to go put out their nets at noon. And this particular fishing method that they used at that time depended on darkness. The fish would only be caught if they could not see the net that was in the water. And so for Jesus to say, "Put out the fish, put out the net at noon," to an experienced fisherman like Jesus, like Peter, this would have made no sense. And Peter here is an expert fisherman among experts. And to obey Jesus, Peter would have to perhaps even open himself up to ridicule by his fellow fishermen. "Why are you putting out the fish at the net at this time? Why are you listening to this crazy commandment to fish at noon?" And so we hear of Peter's obedience. This idea, "Nonetheless, Jesus, what you say, I don't agree with, but I'm going to do it anyways, because you said so." And at that time, they put the net out, and they had this miraculous catch of fish, that the net started to break. And they brought a boat, and that boat started to sink. And they brought another boat, and that boat started to sink because of the great haul of fish. Now we know and hear of Peter's remarkable reaction. Now, many people perhaps would say, when they had this great haul of fish, "Jackpot. I've hit it big." Another person might say, "Let's go have a party." Another person might say, "I'm going to take the rest of the day off and I'm going to go rest and eat and drink and be merry and have fun." But St. Peter here gave a very strange reaction from a worldly perspective, but a true and good and healthy and normal reaction from a person who knows that he is in the presence of God. Because Peter says, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Think about what St. Peter is saying. In other words, he's saying to Jesus, "Jesus, get off my boat. I'm not worthy to have you on my boat. Please leave." Now, what's an explanation of St. Peter's reaction? St. Peter recognized at that moment by the haul of the fish, by the miracle. Sometimes a catch of fish in the scriptures is not just a catch of fish, but it's a revelation, it's a miracle, revealing who Jesus is. And so St. Peter recognized that Jesus is God, that Jesus is pure, that Jesus is holy, that Jesus is transcendent, that Jesus is without sin, that Jesus is, in other words, righteous. This wonder working of the fish revealed Jesus as a righteous man. And so Peter, knowing that Jesus is righteous and looking inside his own heart and realizing that he is not, realizing that he is a sinner, this is why he said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Peter recognized his own sinfulness, his unworthiness to be in God's presence, his unworthiness of having the honor of being in God's midst. So this miracle of recognizing who Jesus is was transformed into the fear of God. And Peter recognized that his life up to then was unpleasing to God. And so he made this confession. Now, what lessons do we have from Peter's confession of sins? First of all, it is natural, it is a healthy response when we recognize that Jesus is our Christ and our Lord, that we too recognize our own sinfulness. Peter came to his senses. This awesome catch of fish shocked him and awed him into humility. We are not worthy to be in God's presence by our own efforts. We are not worthy based on our own good works or anything that we have done to do to be worthy to be in God's presence. It says this throughout the scriptures. In the Old Testament, in Ecclesiastes, it says that there is not a just man on earth who does not sin. St. Peter said in Romans, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by God's grace and by the redemption that comes from Jesus." And even in the Divine Liturgy that we celebrate today, and very pointedly in the Divine Liturgy of St. Basil, in that liturgy, St. Basil says something about the so-called worthiness of the priests who have come up to make this offering to God. And the priest in the holy anaphora, the offering prayer, says this, "Therefore, most holy Master, we also, your sinful servants, your unworthy servants, whom you have made worthy to serve at your holy altar, not because of our own righteousness, for we have not done anything good upon the earth, but because of your mercy and compassion, which you have so richly poured upon us, we dare to approach your holy altar." The fear of God makes us aware. The fear of God, therefore, is good. The fear of God, therefore, is a gift from God. The fear of God has the potential of liberating us from the vanity of this world and putting up with the sins that we have and wants us to become better people. The fear of God, it says in the scripture, is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of virtue. And that is, it's the beginning of the desire in man to want to be improved, to be perfected by God, to mature and to be free and to be saved. It begins with the desire to please God and the yearn to be a better person because of God. So Peter wanted to be perfected, but up to then he could not be perfected by his own efforts. But here he recognized the God in his midst, and this was his opportunity to confess his sins and to begin his life walking with Christ anew. So Peter was stunned to his senses. Formerly intoxicated with sins, Peter sobered up. Sleeping, he was awakened. Groggy with negligence, he became vigilant. The fear of God is a blessing. You know, who has it said, the president that said, was it Franklin Delano Roosevelt? He said, what, you know what he said, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Don't think like Franklin Delano Roosevelt when it comes to the fear of God. The fear of God, Sirach says in the book of Sirach, the fear of God will cheer the heart and will give gladness, joy, and long eternal life. Let's learn to be fearful of God, to want to please God. And let's say this again. The fear of God will cheer the heart and will give gladness, joy, and long eternal life. The fear of God is a gift. Do not fear the fear of God. It's the fear of God is the beginning of life, of blessing, of joy, of freedom from sin, of a free conscience, of forgiveness of sins, of a purposed life driven by the life with God. To live, this is the beginning of the life, is living as a son of God, as an heir, no longer a slave, but an heir to what God wants to give to us. And even Jesus says in the Gospel of John that no longer are we called servants if we follow God and become his disciples. He says that to the disciples there, you can even become the brothers of God. Now to conclude, there's one question we can perhaps take home with us and comprehend and think about. And this is the question. Why didn't Jesus heed Peter's wish that he depart and leave? St. Peter says, depart from me. Why did Jesus stay? What would the answer that you would give if someone asked you that question? Jesus came to heal sinners because he loved us. Jesus knows our failings and knew the failings of all before he came of his own good will and took on flesh and dwell among men. He knows what we are made of. He knows we're immortal. He knows we're only made of dust. And it says in one of the scriptures that Jesus says in Matthew, Jesus says, I did not come on the earth to see righteous men. I did not come to save the righteous, but I've come to heal the sick. The fear of God is also the beginning of wellness and of health and of a pure life and a life of forgiveness and a life of joy. So let us not fear the fear of God, but accept it and confess our sins. And may we also, in this confession of sins, lead to joy, so that one day we also may confess, as Peter did, about who Christ is, that truly he is the Christ, the Son of the living God.